produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is wonderful to be back with you again. We've had, as seemingly always is the case, just a tremendous week that has passed. And it's been a good Sabbath day and a good weekend has just passed. So we are happy and delighted that you're joining with us. And we look forward to our program today. In a previous episode of Power Up Your Family, we spent quite a bit of time talking about gentleman by the name of Stephen Covey and his amazing work that he did over his lifetime, and specifically his great masterpiece, his book called Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, as well as the companion book to that, Seven Habits of Highly Effective Families. And then we went into some detail about goals and goal setting, and at the end of that premise, we realized that the ability to return to God's presence and to receive the eternal blessings that come from making and keeping covenants are the most important goals we can set. And so the scripture that we're reminded of is, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We were reminded that Heavenly Father has a very important goal for each of us, which simply stated, found in Scripture, is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man and woman, and his means to achieve it, as we discussed previously, is the plan of happiness or the plan of salvation. Well, I'd like to do a little review today about goals, and then talk a little bit more about Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People and how that relates to highly effective families. Now, as we previously mentioned, with regard to goals, it would be wise to aim toward the eternities and, you know that your marksmanship would place you in the presence of your Heavenly Father. And so meaningful scripture gives us some counsel in that regard, in regards to a scripture found in the Doctrine and Covenants, the Latter-day Saint scripture, modern-day scripture, that says, one, learn your duty, two, act in the office in which you're appointed, and three, act in all diligence. Now, what process can we use to accomplish this? Well, in Proverbs 16:3, we read, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So committing requires action. Action carries us toward our goals. Without appropriate goals, life can be very drab and commonplace. So write down your major aim in life. From this very act comes power. Basically, using a magnifying glass to zero in on a particular spot will create tremendous energy. I don't know if as a kid you ever took a magnifying glass and got outside with the sun and focused on a leaf or something and watched it eventually set that item on fire. So that zeroing in helps to create tremendous energy. Concentrating light on a specific object will bring about an explosion of progress. The establishment of goals in our lives is of extreme importance. Without them, we are blind. There is a difference between a wish and a goal. We should make our days count, not just count days. Perhaps there should be more doing rather than more learning, more knowing. Let's work within the framework of all we know. I have a goal. A person with goals is the master of his life. Example, if the standards on the football field were taken down and the zero-yard line erased, how would you know if you had made a goal? How would you know if you were winning? Without a goal, one doesn't know if he has arrived. Goals that are changing and yet attainable draw performance upward. The disciplined spirit is the master of the body. Goals become an organizing tool to achieve. They eliminate meandering behavior. Goal setting is an art, and pursuing goals is a skill. Reading the scriptures is a great aid to understanding our goals. The gospel gives us direction and purpose in life. Now, there are a number of approaches in creating goals, but may we consider at least one process today? It is composed of 7 points. Number one, select your goal prayerfully. Get a confirmation from the Lord. He asks us in the 6th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, quote, that I seek not peace to your mind concerning the matter. Let me repeat that. That I not speak peace to your mind concerning the matter. Showing how he lets us know the rightness of your choice. Have peace in your mind as you prayerfully select your goal. Number two, lay out a plan for attaining the goal. In other words, get a roadmap. Put it in writing. Number three, break the plan into logical steps. There are short range, medium range, and long range goals. If you're going to carry the ball into the end zone, there must be training, exercising, body preparation, of course. You know, we are talking about both the physical and spiritual body in eternal goals. Number four, share your goals with others. Make an open commitment. Get others involved to help you succeed. Number five, measure your progress. How far is it to the goal? Number six, evaluate your successes and shortcomings. Ask yourself, how did I gain the greatest yardage? Or another question would be, why did I fumble? Number seven, adjust plans to take advantage of the successes and overcome the shortcomings. You may think that you perhaps should make your offense more vigorous. Maybe we better pass more. At that point, you can start the process over again. Get a reconfirmation. Keep it constantly before the Lord. We must keep at it. Perseverance, commitment. Living the gospel is somewhat like combing your hair. No matter how well we did it yesterday, we have to repeat it today. And why call ye Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will shew you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house, dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Those verses of scripture are found in Luke 6:46 through 49. Sometimes we pamper ourselves with self-indulgence. We satisfy our short-term wants in place of real heartfelt commitment to our long-term goal. Be sure, as you are climbing to the top rung in the ladder of life, that it isn't leaning against the wrong wall. We are in this life to develop spiritual character. Character is what we are. Reputation is what people think we are. Abraham Lincoln once said, "Character is like a tree and reputation like its shadow. The shadow is what we think of it. The tree is the real thing." Sometimes a shadow is much longer or shorter than the tree, depending upon the lighting or our angle of observation. In a storm, when the sun is obscured by clouds, there is no shadow, but the tree still exists. The tree is real. Spiritual character is the real you. It is what is taken with you into the eternities when all else is left behind. A number of years ago, it's been reported that the Harvard Business School did an MBA study on goal setting of a graduating class, and they were asked a single question about their goals in life. And the question was this: have you set written goals and created a plan for their attainment? Prior to graduation, it was determined that 84% of the entire class had set no goals at all. 13% of the class had written goals but had no concrete plans. 3% of the class had both written goals and concrete plans. Can you guess what the results were? Some 10 years later, the 13% of the class that had set written goals but had not created plans were making twice as much money as the 84% of the class that had set no goals at all. Now here's the kicker. The 3% of the class that had both written goals and a plan were making 10 times as much as the rest of the 97% of the class. 10 times as much. That is amazing when you think about it. So having written goals and creating a plan for their attainment is critical to our success in life on whatever level we're trying to measure. You know, one of our apostles in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Elder Richard G. Scott, who has since passed away, made a statement. He said, "To reach a goal you've never before obtained, you must do things you have never before done." And President Spencer W. Kimball, president of our church years before that, said, "I am convinced that unless we set goals, we move no place." So, goals are important. Now, a plan, a blueprint, a system to do this is always going to be helpful for each of us individually. Some come by this talent, if you will, naturally. Others struggle with it. Others are able to accomplish it with some coaching and with some mentoring. I'd like to go back, talk a little bit about Stephen Covey and his 7 habits of highly effective people and relate that to the 7 habits of highly effective families. Now, as you know, there were 7 enumerated habits. I'll just review those briefly and then go back and do a little summary of each one. But I want to focus on one in particular when we get to that point. So habit number one is be proactive. Habit number two, begin with the end in mind. Habit number three, put first things first. Habit number four, think win-win. Habit number five, seek first to understand, then to be understood. Number six, synergize. Number seven, sharpen the saw. So habit number one, be proactive. Stephen Covey tells us that basically by being proactive, it's about taking responsibility for our lives. We cannot keep blaming everything on our parents or grandparents. Proactive people recognize that they are responsible. They don't blame genetics. They don't blame circumstances or conditions. They don't blame conditioning for their behavior. They know they choose their behavior. However, reactive people, on the other hand, are often affected by their physical environment. They find external sources to blame for their behavior. If the weather is good, they feel good. If it isn't, it affects their attitude and performance, and they blame the weather. Stephen Covey says, I am not a product of my circumstances. I am a product of my decisions. I'm going to skip habit number two, begin with the end in mind, and come back to that more at the end. Habit number three, put first things first. Now, habit one says you're in charge. You're the creator. Being proactive is about choice. Habit two is the first or mental creation. Beginning with the end in mind is about vision. Habit three is the second creation, the physical creation. This habit is where habits number one and two come together. It happens day in and day out, moment by moment. It deals with many of the questions addressed in the field of time management. But that's not all that it's about. Habit three is about life management as well as your purpose, values, roles, and priorities. What are first things? First things are those things you personally find of most worth. If you put first things first, you are organizing and managing time and events according to the personal priorities you established in habit number two. Putting first things first means organizing, executing around your most important priorities. It is living and being driven by the principles you most value, not by the agendas and forces surrounding you. That's a quote from Stephen Covey. It goes on in habit number four, think win-win. Work effectively with others to achieve optimal results. Thinking win-win isn't about being nice, nor is it a quick fix technique. It is a character-based code for human interaction and collaboration. Most of us learn to base our self-worth on comparisons and competition. We think about succeeding in terms of someone else failing, that is. If I win, you lose. Or if you win, I lose. Life becomes a zero-sum game. There's only so much pie to go around, and if you get a big piece, there is less for me. Not fair, and I'm going to make sure you don't get any more. We all play the game, but how much fun is it really? Win-win sees life as a cooperative arena, not a competitive one. Win-win is a frame of mind and heart that constantly seeks mutual benefit in all human interactions. Think about that as it relates to the family. Win-win means agreements or solutions are mutually beneficial and satisfying. Basically, we both get to eat the pie and it tastes pretty doggone good. A person, an organization, or a family that approaches conflicts with a win-win attitude possess three vital character traits. Number one, integrity. Sticking with your true feelings, values, and commitments. Number two, maturity. Expressing your ideas and feelings with courage and consideration for the ideas and feelings of others. Number three, abundance mentality. Believing there is plenty for everyone. Stephen Covey said, when one side benefits more than the other, that's a win-lose situation. To the winner, it might look like success for a while, but in the long run, it breeds resentment and distrust. He also said, in the long run, if it isn't a win-win for both of us, we both lose. That's why win-win is the only real alternative in interdependent realities. And obviously within the family context, we deal with interdependent realities. Habit number five, seek first to understand and then to be understood. If you're like most people, you probably seek first to be understood. You want to get your point across. And in doing so, you may ignore the other person completely. Pretend that you're listening, selectively hear only certain parts of the conversation, or attentively focus on only the words being said, but miss the meaning entirely. So why does this happen? Because most people listen with the intent to reply, not to understand. You listen to yourself as you prepare in your mind what you're going to say, the question you're going to ask, etc. You filter everything you hear through your life experiences, your frame of reference. You check what you hear against your autobiography and see how it measures up. And consequently, you decide prematurely what the other person means before he or she even finishes communicating. Does any of that sound familiar? Communication is the most important skill in life. We spend years learning how to read and write, and years learning how to speak. But what about listening? What training have you had that enables you to listen so you really deeply understand another human being? Stephen Covey said, if I were to summarize in one sentence the single most important principle I have learned in the field of interpersonal relations, it would be this: seek first to understand and then to be understood. I'm reminded of an example that Stephen Covey shares that relates to this and what sometimes is referred to as potentially a paradigm shift as we begin to understand someone else. I don't have the information in front of me, but as I best recall, the story goes something like this. A man was on the subway tram on a Sunday morning reading the paper as he was heading somewhere. And at the next stop, father with three or four kids came on board the train. And immediately the passenger reading the paper was a bit irritated because the father of the kids seemed to be self-absorbed and was not paying any attention to the children. And they were being rowdy, making noise, and just creating quite a ruckus. And it was very distracting for the passenger reading the paper. And after a certain period of time, he just couldn't deal with it any longer. And he finally put his paper down and said, "Sir, do you mind taking control of your children? They're being very disruptive." Father, alerted and kind of somewhat startled, said, Oh, I am so sorry." And here is what, when I heard this, caught my attention in a way that was very tender. The father said, "We have just come from the hospital, and their mother has just passed away, and we're just a little bit confused and overwhelmed by that circumstance. I apologize." Now imagine yourself being that disgruntled passenger trying to read the paper, making a very bold statement to the father, and then hearing those words. How would you feel? I know when I heard this story and heard those words, it was a wake-up call to realize that, yes, it is important that we seek first to understand and then worry about us being understood by someone else. Habit number six, energize. Innovate and problem solve with those who you have a different point of view. Now, I'm sure as a parent, you've had situations where your children have a different point of view than what yours might be. So to put it simply, synergy means two heads are better than one. Synergize is the habit of creative cooperation. It's teamwork, open-mindedness, and the adventure of finding new solutions to old problems. But it just doesn't happen on its own. It's a process, and through that process, people bring all of their personal experience and expertise to the table. Together, they can produce far better results that they could have individually. Energy lets us discover jointly things we are much less likely to discover by ourselves. It is the idea that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. In other words, 1 + 1 = 3 or 6 or 60, you name it. When people begin to interact together genuinely and they're open to each other's influence, they begin to gain new insight. Capability of inventing new approaches is increased exponentially because of differences. Stephen Covey said, synergy is not the same as compromise. It is in a compromise, 1 + 1 = 1.5 at best. In the interest of time, let me be brief here. Habit number 7, sharpen the saw. Seek continuous improvement and renewal professionally and personally. Sharpen the saw means preserving and enhancing the greatest asset you have, you. It means having a balanced program for self-renewal in the four areas of your life: physical, social, emotional, social-emotional, mental, and spiritual. So in other words, the four areas of your life are: 1, physical; 2, social and emotional; 3, mental; 4, spiritual. I give some examples here: physical, beneficial eating, exercising, and resting; social, emotional, making social and meaningful connections with others; mental, learning, reading, writing, and teaching; spiritual, spending time in nature, expanding spiritual self through meditation, music, art, prayer, and service. Stephen Covey said, renewal is the principle and the process that empowers us to move on an upward spiral of growth and change, of continuous improvement. As we renew ourselves in each of these four areas, we create growth and change in our lives. Sharpen the saw keeps us fresh so we can continue to practice the other 6 habits. We increase our capacity to produce and handle the challenges around us. Without this renewal, the body becomes weak, the mind mechanical, the emotions raw, the spirit insensitive, and the person becomes selfish. Not a pretty picture, is it? Stephen Covey says, we must never become too busy sawing. Take time to sharpen the saw. Now, I skipped over habit number 2, and I apologize that we've basically run out of time. But just by a quick review, we know that habit number 2 is begin with the end in mind. And I would have liked to have talked a little bit more about, with that concept in mind, the importance of establishing a personal mission statement as well as a family mission statement. What a mission statement basically involves is our ability to project in the future what it is we're hoping to achieve. we focus time and energy on things that we can control by having this vision for the future. The basic premise is, you know, so what do you want to be when you grow up? That question may appear a little trite, but think about it for a moment. Are you right now who you want to be? What you dreamed you'd be? Doing what you always wanted to do? Be honest. Sometimes people find themselves achieving victories that are empty, successes that have come at the expense of things that were far more valuable to them. If your ladder is not leaning against the right wall, every step you take gets you to the wrong place faster. Stephen Covey said, quote, people are working harder than ever, but because they lack clarity and vision, they aren't getting very far. They, in essence, are pushing a rope with all of their might. So habit number two is based on imagination, the ability to envision in your mind what you cannot at present see with your eyes. It is based on the principle that all things are created twice. There is first a mental creation, and then second, a physical creation. The physical creation follows the mental, just as a building follows a blueprint. If you don't make a conscious effort to visualize who you are and what you want in life, then you empower other people and circumstances to shape you and your life by default. It's about connecting again with your own uniqueness and then defining the personal, moral, and ethical guidelines which you can most happily express and fulfill. Understand the end result. Begin with the end in mind means to begin each day, each task, or each project with a clear vision of your desired direction and destination, and then continue by flexing your proactive muscles to make things happen. And in regards to this habit number two, a personal mission statement helps us to focus on what we want to be and do. It's our plan for success. It reaffirms who we are, puts our goals in focus, and moves our ideas into the real world. Our mission statement makes us the leader of our own life. We create our own destiny and secure the future that we envision. So in closing, I'd like to just encourage all of us to think in terms of a mission statement. This is an assignment for our audience. If you haven't already done one, or if you haven't updated one recently, go back and work on a personal mission statement. And if you don't have one for your family, work on that as well. There's much more we could say about this, but in conclusion, I would like to simply say that a mission statement coupled with our goals, knowing that simple habit number two of Stephen Covey's is to begin with the end in mind. And I'll reference back that on their website of the Covey Franklin organization, on this particular habit, they have a video that I'll give a link to dealing with what you would like to have be your circumstance on your 80th birthday. Very tender, and a very real heart grabber when you see it. Well, in closing, I would like to simply say that I know these principles are true. I've experienced them. And I will report to you that I can do better and that I promise you that I will do better in fulfilling the opportunities presented in our program today. God bless each of you. May you be richly blessed and protected in your daily affairs is my humble prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.